Welcome, everyone, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, I'm going to be talking about the gifts that Jesus has offered us. The definition I have for you today for gift is not something earned, but given. And God has given us so many gifts. Plenty. They are plenty. And we should lay hold upon them. We should make use of them. I'm going to start out in Alma chapter 7, verses 28 through 36. Alma chapter 7, verse 28 through 36. And that's on page 332. If you're following along, you know I could make an error so on the screen. So it's always good to follow along in the Word to make sure that what is up there is actually what is written. Yea, after having been such a highly favored people of the Lord. And what I'm talking about, what this is, let me give you some background here. This is Alma speaking to the people of Ammonihah. They were Nephites. And he's warning them that if they didn't do what Dan was talking about a little bit earlier, making Christ the center of their lives, or God the center of their lives, that there was a warning. And so I'm going to read about that. Yea, after having been such a highly favored people of the Lord, and while we're reading about them, I want you to apply that to us, because I believe we're in a similar condition. Yea, after having been such a highly favored people of the Lord, yea, after having been favored above every other nation, kindred, tongue, or people, after having had all things made known unto them according to their desires and their faith and prayers of that which has been and which is to come, having been visited by the Spirit of God, having conversed with angels, and having been spoken unto by the voice of the Lord, and having the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation, and also many gifts, the gift of speaking with tongues, and the gift of preaching, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the gift of translation. Yea, and after having been delivered of God out of the land of Jerusalem by the hand of the Lord, and this was their history, having been saved from famine and from sickness and all manner of diseases of every kind, and they having been waxed strong in battle, that they might not be destroyed, having been brought out of bondage time after time, and having been kept and preserved until now. And they have been prospered until they are rich in all manner of things. And like their history, we have a similar history. We've been through many wars. We've been through afflictions as a nation. We have been lifted up above every other nation, tongue, and people, been highly favored, just as they were. And we've had gifts of prophecy and the speaking with tongues and the gift of preaching and the gift of the Holy Ghost. We've had many of these gifts. And now behold, I say unto you, verse 35, I say unto you that if this people who have received so many blessings from the hand of the Lord should transgress contrary to the light and knowledge which they do have, I say unto you that if this be the case, that if they should fall into transgression, that's sin, that it would be far more tolerable for the Lamanites than for them. And we have a similar warning to us that's found in the 9th and 10th chapter of the third book of Nephi that Christ prophesied to us, that if we should neglect so great a gift as his word and his blessing, as the gift of the Holy Ghost, that there's a warning to us as a people. And many of this nation have rejected his word in the Book of Mormon. Many of this nation have rejected his word in the Bible and changed it to suit their own will rather than reading it and following his will. And so that warning is to us, but I don't want us to fall to the same temptations. And so this sermon is a warning, and at the same time, it's in praise to God for the many gifts that he's offered us. And it's an encouragement to lay hold upon him, to reach out to your Bible and Book of Mormon and read it and know it and make it apply to your life. Apply these eternal words to your situations and your decisions. The gift of the Holy Ghost is one of those gifts I'm referring to, one of the many gifts. You'll turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 13. And he said unto them, and this is Christ speaking, which of you shall have a friend and go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet, because of his importunity, and that importunity means constant begging, bothering, continual asking. So if you were to come to your friend at midnight and he says no at first, you keep asking him. And so it says in verse 8, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed, as many loaves of bread as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? If your son asked you for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Of course not. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, and we are evil by our nature, the natural man is an enemy of God. We are evil by nature. So it's saying, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so that gift is available to us, that gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want to read a little bit about that gift being given to a people on this land when Christ visited them following his resurrection. I'm sorry, I didn't advance for you there. Third book of Nephi, chapter 9, verses 8 through 10, and that's in the Book of Mormon. Third book of Nephi, chapter 9, verses 8 through 10. And this is when Christ visited the people of this land who were of the house of Joseph. Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Israel, they were visited by Jesus and taught those same things that he taught in Jerusalem. And then they were desirous when they found out about the Holy Ghost, that gift. They were desirous to have that same gift. And so starting in verse 8, it says, "And the disciples did pray unto the Father also in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that they arose and ministered unto the people." That means they taught them. "And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken," nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, "they taught the words of Christ. Behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus, and they did pray for that which they most desired, and they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them." So let's see how they received that gift. It says, "And when they had thus prayed, they went down unto the water's edge, and the multitude followed them. And it came to pass that Nephi went down into the water and was baptized. And he came up out of the water and began to baptize. He had been called by Christ to baptize and ordained. And he baptized all they whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass that when they were all baptized and had come up out of the water, the Holy Ghost did fall upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And so they were baptized according to the words of Jesus, and they received. They wanted that gift of the Holy Ghost, and he was good to give it to them. So they received that good gift. Before we go on to the gift of charity, I want to read out of Matthew similar words as we read out of Luke a little bit earlier about God giving good gifts. And it's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Once again, what's required? That we ask. How simple is that? You know, if we start out with this desire in our soul to do what's right, to know God, to and just start out with that desire. Ask him, "What do you want me to do next?" He'll guide us to his word. He'll guide us to what we should do. But one of those gifts that he gives is the gift of charity. It's been defined in the Book of Mormon as the pure love of Christ. The two great commandments are to love God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength, and to love. The second is like unto it, to love our neighbor as ourself. What kind of love is it? It can only be that pure love of Christ, and it's a gift. In the Book of Mormon, it was represented by this fruit that was seen in a vision that was pure and white. And it says in First Book of Nephi, talking about that vision, First Book of Nephi, chapter 4, verses 62 and 63. It says, wherefore the wicked are rejected from the righteous, and also from the tree of life, whose fruit is most precious and most desirable of all other fruits. So only the wicked, those who choose over and over to reject his love, don't receive the fruit of that love. Yea, and it is the greatest of all gifts of God, the love of Christ. The greatest of all. Of course, most of you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You think of that love that he has, that he's made this plan for each one of us, that we would follow after him, that we would not reject his gifts, that we would not reject the gift of his love. The gift of the Word of God. Turn with me to third book of Nephi, chapter 50. I don't have the chapter there. Well, I'm going to have to read it from here. Third book of Nephi, and I wish I could tell you the chapter, and maybe it'll come to me as I read it. And now, behold, I say unto you that when the Lord shall see fit in his wisdom that these sayings shall come unto the Gentiles according to his word, I think it's chapter 13. Third book of Nephi, chapter 13, starting in verse 54. Yes, it's on page 679. And now, behold, I say unto you that when the Lord shall see fit in his wisdom, that these sayings, and that's this Book of Mormon. It came to the Gentiles, or us, in 1829. And it says, and now, behold, I say unto you that when the Lord shall see fit in his wisdom, that these sayings shall come unto the Gentiles according to his word, then ye may know that the covenant which the Father hath made with the children of Israel concerning their restoration to the lands of their inheritance is already beginning to be fulfilled. There were promises made to Israel. That they would be gathered to their own lands, and those will be fulfilled. Verse 55, and ye may know that the words of the Lord, which have been spoken by the holy prophets, shall all be fulfilled, and ye need not say that the Lord delays his coming unto the children of Israel, and ye need not imagine in your hearts, and this is Christ speaking here, and so he's talking about his second coming there. And ye need not imagine in your hearts that the words which have been spoken are vain. For behold, the Lord will remember his covenant which he hath made unto his people of the house of Israel. And when ye shall see these sayings coming forth among you, then ye need not any longer spurn at the doings of the Lord. For the sword of his justice is in his right hand, and behold, at that day, if you shall spurn at his doings, he will cause that it shall soon overtake you. Woe unto him that spurneth at the doings of the Lord, yea, woe unto him that shall deny the Christ and his work. Yea, woe unto him that shall deny the revelations of the Lord, and that shall say, the Lord no longer worketh by revelation, or by prophecy, or by gifts, or by tongues, or by healings, or by the power of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe unto him that shall say at that day that there can be no miracle wrought by Jesus Christ for to get gain. For he that doeth this shall become like the son of perdition, for whom was no mercy, according to the word of Christ. And that's the son of perdition was talking about Judas. There was no mercy for him because he chose to betray and leave the Christ. And so that if we do not lay hold upon this gift of the Word of God, if we don't continue to believe that God performs miracles even in our day, if we don't believe that God continues to speak today, always according to His Word in the Bible and Book of Mormon, then we will have no mercy. We need to continue to believe that He performs miracles today, not just for old people, but for young people, not just for men, but for women, not just for us in the United States, but in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people that believe His word. There are many gifts of God, and we find one gift of God Connor and Taylor know about, gift of their baby. Now, the little children, Gary spoke about this morning, and then we have our older examples of couples who have been married 67 years. How amazing. You know, Connor and Taylor recently married. They have that to look forward to, 67 years. And they can only do that by laying hold upon the Word of God, believing in it, and listening to what it says. And we have many other gifts, and we find those gifts talked about in the Word. When you get time, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it talks about many gifts given to the body of Christ. The gifts of prophecy, of speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 2 talks about how the time of Christ is when the prophecy of Joel is fulfilled, and how your daughter shall prophesy, your son shall dream dreams. All of these gifts are available to us, that God would guide each of us individually and personally in doing His will. But I'm going to read in Mormon chapter 4 a warning against denying these gifts. Mormon chapter 4, 66 through 69. That's found on page 710. Mormon chapter 4, 66 through 69. And again I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God and say that they are done away, that there are no revelations nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healing, nor speaking with tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing? And now, if ye have imagined up unto yourselves a God which doth vary, and in him there is shadow of changing, then ye have imagined up unto yourselves a God which is not a God of miracles. Verses 75 through 82, same chapter. And now, O all ye that have imagined up unto yourselves a God which can do no miracles, I would ask of you, have all these things passed of which I have spoken? Has the end come yet? Behold, I say unto you, nay, and God has not ceased to be a God of miracles. Behold, are not the things that God hath wrought marvelous in our eyes? Yea, and who can comprehend the marvelous works of God? Who shall say that that it was not a miracle that by his word the heaven and the earth should be, and by the power of his word man was created from the dust of the earth, and by the power of his word hath miracles been wrought? And who shall say that Jesus Christ did not many mighty miracles? And there were many mighty miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. And if there were miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be a God of miracles and yet be an unchangeable being? And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God, and he ceaseth not to be God, and is a God of miracles. Moroni chapter 3, a little bit farther in the Book of Mormon, talks a little bit about another gift, and that is the gift and calling of the ministry to preach his word, to baptize, to lay on hands. But this is specifically, this chapter is talking about when priests and teachers are ordained. And verses 1 through 3, it says, the manner which the disciples, which were called the elders of the church, ordained priests and teachers. After they had prayed unto the Father in the name of Christ, and Moroni is teaching his people almost 400 years later, or actually he's writing it to the Lamanites of the future. But almost 400 years after the coming of Christ, he's teaching them how Christ taught them to do this, so that we would know today how to do it. And it says, and this is what they did when Christ came. And after they had prayed unto the Father in the name of Christ, they laid their hands upon them and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ordain you to be a priest, or if he be a teacher, I ordain you to be a teacher, to preach repentance and remission of sins through Jesus Christ by the endurance of faith on his name to the end. Amen. And after this manner did they ordain priests and teachers according to the gifts and callings of God unto men. And they ordained them by the power of the Holy Ghost, which was in them. Remember at the beginning I said a gift is something given, not earned. And any minister of Christ is given that ministry, is given the words to say. And often, in fact, you heard Brother Dan in his prayer this morning, he prayed that God would replace my words with his. Because if I come up here and preach my words, it's going to be of no value to you. And so I ask God always to take away my thoughts, to take away my agenda, my words, before I preach, because I would fear coming up and preaching in my own nothingness, my own words that have no value. So that the gift of the ministry is another gift. Moroni chapter 10, verses 8 through 14. And this chapter talks about the importance of laying hold of every good gift. We've talked about so few of the gifts that God has available for us, that God wants us to take hold upon, that we would have joy in our lives. That we would have joy in our lives. So, Moroni, chapter 10, starting in verses 8. And again I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God. Take hold upon them. Ask for them. For they are many. And they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered. So you and I may both have the gift of great faith, but your gift might be administered in a different way than it's administered in me. Or we may have different gifts. Wherefore, I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God. Oh, excuse me. Let's see. I'm sorry. Back on, I'm going to read 8 again. And again, I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God, and there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God which worketh all in all, and they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And again to another that he may work mighty miracles, and again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things, and again to another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits, and again to another all kinds of tongues, and again to another the interpretation of languages and of diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally, according as he will. So God gives them severally, as he desires. Verse 13, and I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. So ask him for it. Ask him for gifts that you can serve him by. I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still performs miracles. He still speaks. He still uses people according to his will. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Only if you and I don't believe in his word. That's the only way they'll be done away, if we don't believe. So be believing. Believe that he has a plan for your life and has gifts for you to use to serve him. Before I go on to my last verse, well, no, I guess I have a few more here. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case, for there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and gifts of God. And woe unto them which shall do these things away and die, for they die in their sins, and they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And I speak it according to the words of Christ, and I lie not. Before I read this last verse, I have one other verse, and it's in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. It talks about the gift of faith, because I know at times in my life, and I think possibly in yours, I feel like I have very little faith. I feel like I don't believe like I should. And this talks about faith as a gift. That means if we don't have it, we should ask for it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So if you don't have faith, if you don't have faith that you even you can be saved, ask for it, that he by his grace can save you. Ask him, God, help my unbelief. Verse 9, not of works, so you're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then I love this scripture, this next verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're to rely, it says over and over in his word, after we're baptized, we're to rely upon his merits, the merits of Christ, what he did in his death, in his resurrection, and what he does through us with his Holy Spirit. And that's when his gifts, the gifts he gives us, are used by us to perform his good works. So it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so that's our hope, that we'll walk in his workmanship, in his gifts that he has given us, that we will lay hold upon every good gift and make use of them. Moroni chapter 10, verse 27. That last chapter of the Book of Mormon that we were just in says, and again, I would exhort you that ye would come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift and touch not the evil gift nor the unclean thing. And how can I read that verse and not read the verses that follow? Because the verses that follow are our hope. And awake and arise from the dust, O daughter of Zion. Yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes, and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded. It's talking about the house of Israel and the covenants that have been made to them from God. That the covenants of the eternal God which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, and you and I, if you don't know this already, are adopted into Israel when we take upon us the name of Christ and are baptized in water and then baptized by the Holy Ghost. So this is talking to us too. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your heart, with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye may become holy without spot. What great hope that we become holy and without spot, and that we live eternally with him. But we have hope of a joy in this life, a joy that's unspeakable, that we can't even create words for, a joy of being obedient to him, using the gifts that he's given us, and this joy that he gives us in serving him. It's available to us in this life. So lay hold upon every good gift that he offers you, that ye might have that joy.